Jeff, he was gracious to trade me, and appreciate that very much. And one of Paul's writings to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 21, he makes this statement. For to me to live is Christ, and we recognize that he's talking about if his earth life continues, it's the advancement of the cause of Christ, and to die is gain. And we know that Paul is saying that if his earth life passes, he surely, in his mind and in our minds, he's going to make heaven, and it'll be a great gain for him. Verse 22, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. And verse 23, I am in a strait, and a strait is a situation that really pinches an individual, where they have a choice there, and it's a difficult choice. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Having a desire. Alexander Cruden, in his concordance, defines the word desire as a longing for a coveting. We think about the word covet most of the time in a negative sense, but Cruden says that in this definition that he's using, the word covet, to wish for with eagerness, and that can be a positive or a negative. And he gives a couple of examples. In Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. A longing for, a coveting, a wishing for with eagerness. The desire of the righteous is only good. And also he uses it as exemplary verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. And you recall in the first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul wrote to them several things that the church needed to give attention to and straighten out. And one of those, of course, is given in chapter 5 there, where the individual had his father's wife. And they were glorying over that. Instead of correcting the matter, they were boasting about it. And Paul writes to them with very strong words. They clear the matter up, and he writes to them again, a second letter, and Titus brings him news of how the congregation reacted to his first letter. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, when he told us of your earnest desire. Titus told us about your desire, your longing for, your craving, your wanting to straighten the matter up. Cruden also uses another definition for desire, an expressed wish or petition. And he gives us an example from Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. The expressed wish or the petition. Funk and Wagnall's Standard Desk Dictionary defines the word desire as to wish or to long for, even to crave. And that's the verb form, the noun form, a longing or craving, a request or a wish. The first time we find the word desire in the Bible, when God created the first man, and from his side he took a rib and created the first woman, and he speaks to her, and he said to her in chapter 3, verse 16, thy desire, thy longing, thy craving, thy wishing for, thy desire shall be to thy husband. We don't see much of that, do we? And he shall rule over thee. We don't see much of that either. I think one of the great verses to illustrate the import of desire, when Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 3, and he outlines the qualifications of a bishop or an elder, and he prefaces those qualifications with this statement. This is a true saying. It's one that can't be denied. It's one that is accepted without argument. This is a true saying. If a man desire, if he longs for, if he wishes for, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. And this statement is made before any of the qualifications that are given. Why do you suppose that is? Well, because if a man does not desire the office, you might as well stop there. What good does it do to rehearse the qualifications if an individual does not desire, does not long for that office? He may fulfill all of the qualifications that Paul lists to Timothy, but if he does not desire that office, he's not going to be very, very successful as far as being an elder, an overseer, a bishop is concerned. He would make a very poor one, in fact. I believe the eldership is the single greatest accomplishment spiritually that one can aspire to after becoming a Christian, as far as males are concerned. But that office should not be one that's forced upon an individual, but there has to be that desire there. And it should not be accepted out of compunction of conscience, where an individual might make the statement, well, I really don't want to be, but I think I should be. There's no desire there. A passage that Jeff uses when he speaks before we observe the Lord's Supper, and he uses this verse often, from Luke chapter 22, verse 15, where Jesus makes the statement, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. So it's not just Jesus is saying, I want to eat this Passover with you, but he's saying, with desire, with great longing, I've longed to eat this feast with you. And shortly thereafter, they observe the Passover, and he introduces the memorial feast, the Lord's Supper. We have time for just to mention this. When we think about desire as it applies to our Christian lives, and I realize this lesson could be a full-length lesson, but I did not take the time to develop it. But anyway, when we think about desire as far as our attendance at the worship services, do we desire to be here? Sometimes we make the statement when people say, well, can you do such and such on Sunday morning, or can you do such and such on Wednesday night? And you say, well, I can't because I have to go to church. I have to go to church. You know, how much desire is there when we make that statement? David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So David was not a person that you had to grab and yank him into the worship service, but he said, I was glad. David, it's time to go into the house of the Lord. I desire to do that. In our prayer life, we're instructed in 2 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing, to be of a prayerful mind constantly. Question, do we pray because it's the thing to do? Because we hear so many lessons on prayer, and maybe it becomes a ritual with us as we begin our day. You know, I'm going to pray before I leave the house. We go to bed at night and I'm going to pray, you know. Or do we desire to speak to our Heavenly Father? And lastly, and we could mention a bunch of other things, in our giving, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we have various passages, especially the letters that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. Do we give merely because we're commanded to do so? Or do we give with the desire to fulfill the command and also to see the church flourish, to see that all the obligations financially are met. Desire. When I think about this, I think about something that one of my friends said a number of years ago. We were playing golf, and this has been 15 years ago, and he was a religious man, a very, very nice man. And after we had finished, I said, Al, sometime before I die, I'd like to get a hole-in-one. And Al said, well, you will. You will. I said, what makes you think that? And he said, and he quoted from the psalmist. He said, well, it says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. I think Al was maybe bending the scripture a little bit. I don't think God cares whether I get a hole-in-one or not. 12 years later, I did get one. But I don't think that the desire was there on my part, but I don't really think that God really cared. Something to think about, our desire. How great is it to serve God? Is it merely because we think it's a thing to do, or is it something that we, by Cruden's definition, that we long for, that we wish for with eagerness, that we have an expressed wish that it be so? Thanks for listening. We'll go into our Bible study period now.